Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Just after 10 a.m. here on a Saturday, June 28th, you're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 a.m., 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, it's our buddy Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. What's going on, Chase?
Not much, man. Good to be on with you. I'm on my way to the Wizards introductory press conference for their 2025 draft class.
Well, Chase, I've set you up here. I have set you up. I spent an hour talking Wizards basketball, hyping up this front office. I'm all in. I'm excited for the young roster. The Wiz kids are back. These are your people, Chase. Tell us what we want to hear. When will the Washington Wizards be NBA champions?
That is a little tough to nail down, but I think the timeline's becoming a little more clear.
Yeah.
I think next year you're probably going to expect them to continue through the rebuild. It's really important to note that their first-round pick is top eight protected. So if they got the ninth or tenth pick or anything after that, that pick is forfeited because of the John Wall-Russell Westbrook trade. So you can sort of read the tea leaves there. They're also likely to be the youngest team in the league once again, as they were this past season. They're actually the youngest team in franchise history. But I think the year after that, things might line up where they could start leveling up. I don't know about an NBA championship 2 years from now, but I think, you know, maybe competing for the playoffs, the timing could be right.
Yeah, but I think you said it. Now there is a timeline, it feels like, right? And you can work towards moving on from tanking and actually trying to make the playoffs. One more year, like you said, you got to have a top eight pick to keep it. But then after that, we want to see growth into the NBA postseason. So I think Michael Winger, Will Dawkins are doing a great job. I loved every move they've made. I got to say, though, one move they made that they've kind of gone against their own move was they brought in Jordan Poole, right? And then moved on from him for CJ McCollum. Can you kind of walk me through why they made that move? I think it's the right move to make, but what do you think was going on in their minds?
Well, that trade right now remains unofficial, and I say that partly because I've seen these trades happen, and you just never know what can happen subsequently, right? Like, remember, Chris Paul was briefly a Washington Wizard, so sometimes these trades, they lead to something else. But I think, generally speaking, you know, you look at what the Wizards did in the draft, it kind of reminds me of last year and through experience covering the draft, it always amazes me how teams kind of have a clear idea of what they're going to be able to accomplish on draft night, the type of position they're going to target, even if they don't have the number one pick. And so the Wizards end up drafting a guard, sixth overall, Trey Johnson, who is a really high-level scorer. So I think the runway is there now for him to come in and get a lot of shots, play a lot of minutes, and have a high usage rate, and form a backcourt of the future with Bob Carrington. So in terms of the veterans, we'll have to see where they go from here. I don't think anything is set in stone really until after free agency, but certainly the path is there for Trey Johnson to develop and really spread his wings.
Yeah, and Poole being gone, you mentioned it. I mean, we'll open things up for Bub Carrington. As much as I want to talk about Trey Johnson, I want to start with Bub because, you know, I was just doing a list here of naming all the young players and who I think has the best superstar potential. And I have Bub over Bilal, and I have Bub over Alex Sarr. He's my number one. Of the guys that we have, a young core all below, like, 24 years old, I see superstar in his path. Now, he's got to get to being an all-star first. He's got to take steps forward in his game. But do you see that potential from what you've seen in a young Bub Carrington?
100%. Dates of birth in front of me, but I think he's still the youngest of all of them, right? He was 18 when he got drafted. He's 19 now. He's certainly younger than the other guys in his draft class. He's the most skilled young player they have on the offensive end. He may not be the most explosive athlete. That'd probably be Bilal Coulibaly. He may not be the unicorn prototype that Alex Sarr is, but he is, I think, several steps ahead of the rest of them in terms of his skill off the dribble and creating his own shot. And that's really important. I think, you know, it's sort of an old school mindset that you have to be a superstar above the rim athlete to be one of the best players in the NBA now. just not how the game is played. I could talk for an hour on this. I have a really extensive theory about it, but I feel like the three-point shot has become a great equalizer, especially for guards, where it helps to get to the rim, it helps to score around the rim, but a lot of games are won and lost on the three-point line, and he is way ahead of the game in terms of shooting off the dribble, especially from three-point range. And I would point to guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Halliburton, who were the best players on the two teams in the NBA Finals this year, as sort of the archetype for Bob Carrington. He's a little bit different than those guys, but you just saw proof of concept in the NBA Finals of how a guy at his size with his skill set can end up becoming a number one option on a team when maybe in the past you'd think that that guy would have a 40-inch vertical leap.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the three-point shot being the great equalizer. That's how Indiana made so many of their comebacks. So, Bub, starting point guard for the foreseeable future. We're excited about him. I think he's like Chris Paul, the way he's got the ball on a string. Shooting guard Trey Johnson. I said comparing him to a young Ray Allen. Would you say that's accurate? What are you expecting from Trey Johnson as a rookie?
Yeah, that's a pretty good comp. You know, about the same size. Really advanced as a shooter. And I think everyone's looking at the three-point percentage and the volume. It was about 40% on close to 7 attempts per game. But there's an even greater story once you break it down with the analytics. I mean, he was lethal from NBA three-point range, which I think is really important. A lot of rookies, that's an adjustment for them. It may not seem like a great difference in distance, but it is. It takes oftentimes half a season, a full season sometimes, for these guys to just adjust from the college line to the three-point line. He was incredible, especially in transition. He shot like 55% from three in transition. That's really important because the Wizards are one of the fastest teams in the league. They play with a lot of pace. But he was also really good in the half court. He was excellent from the corner. So I was trying to like take a second look at it, a third look at it, being like, all right, okay, is there a weakness here? Because this guy is 19 years old. You don't often see someone this advanced across the board. So when you think of three-point shooting, especially at his size, of course, Ray Allen's going to enter that conversation.
You get Will Riley, and then the second round you add Jameer Watkins. But I want to jump into what we're expecting this upcoming season from Bilal Coulibaly. You know, he started this rebuild when he was selected. We all felt like, man, there was a lot of potential in this young kid. Where is he at right now offensively? Can he get to 15 to 17 points per game? I said, like, on the opening segment, Chase, if he has back-to-back nights of 25-plus points, then I'll feel like he arrived offensively.
Yeah, this is a big year for him in general. It's the third year out of a four-year rookie contract. He will be extension-eligible after this season. So you know he's got that on his mind. I thought he took a big step forward last year defensively. Offensively, we saw progress early in the season, but then it kind of trailed off. I wonder if his legs were a little bit tired. You know, he played for his national team over the summer. And I say that because in the preseason and early in the season, he looked like one of the most athletic players on the court every night. He was so explosive. And then he didn't have that same burst. And then the Wizards had this long break during the season. It was essentially the equivalent of an all-star break when the play-in tournament happened. And then right after that, he looked like that guy again for like a week or two, and then it sort of dissipated. So I think as long as he has his legs under him, he could use that to his advantage. But in terms of his offensive ceiling, you know, I think he could make a big leap in a short period of time because he's so young and he's so athletic. And I think that needs to be kept in mind with a lot of their young players. That's why the Wizards went young. That's why they are favoring high ceilings, because you just never know what's going to click. And all of a sudden, overnight, you know, we saw last year with like Amen Thompson and Dyson Daniels, all of a sudden someone can become a cornerstone out of nowhere, seemingly. You know, maybe you saw flashes from those guys, but it really clicked all of a sudden. And so I think the Wizards obviously would love to see the same trajectory from Bilal Coulibaly.
I think you might be onto something about playing too many games. I mean, wasn't that Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton, who then both got hurt, right? They were playing last summer for Team USA, so maybe could be something there. Hopefully Bilal will be able to hit the ground running this season. One of the complaints I see from Wizards fans on social media, it's not the front office. It's the head coach. Why is Brian Keefe the right coach for the job?
Well, he's got an extensive background with both Michael Winger, the president of Monumental Basketball, and Will Dawkins, the GM of the Wizards, because he was in Oklahoma City and helped oversee the development of guys like Kevin Durant. I believe he was there with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. He was definitely there with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So he is one of the more accomplished player development assistant coaches that they've ever been around. And so right now they want the same type of development to happen with their young players. So they feel like, you know, who better to do that than a guy who has been in the gym and seen up close how it worked for those players. So I think it's that background. They feel really comfortable with his experience and his mindset. He's also a very serious guy, and he's a very honest person. So I think they want to establish a culture of accountability, and he's someone who can do that. And when he can point to, you know, his years working with those players, that's got to hold some weight. So I think at least as of now, he fits their timeline really well because of those reasons, because player development, especially with their young draft picks, that's the name of the game for them. So I don't see that changing in the foreseeable future because of those reasons.
Chase, always appreciate you taking the time to join the show. Always fun to talk a little NBA ball and the Washington Wizards. Follow Chase on social media, Chase DC Sports, Wizards, and the NBA for Monumental Sports. Thanks so much, Chase.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. The Wizards Summer League roster could feature six first-round picks. I mean, this is going to be a Summer League roster that might have Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, A.J. Johnson, Trey Johnson, Will Riley. They signed Kaderi Richmond at St. John's, Jameer Watkins, the second-round draft pick. And then when we get to the regular season, it might look just like the Summer League roster. That's what I'm excited about. And then you add C.J. McCollum, who, as Chase Hughes said, might get rerouted, just like Chris Paul was rerouted to another team. You have Chris Middleton, could be a trade piece. And you have Marcus Smart. I almost guarantee he will be a good trade piece because I feel like he wants to be on a contender. He still feels like he has something left to give towards an NBA champion. And I wonder how much Chris Middleton wants to get out of here also and be on a team that he can play in a postseason with. But there are a lot of happy Wizards fans, and there are some that are like, well, when is this rebuild going to end? And I think it's okay to be critical, and I think it's okay to, you know, question some of the moves that the front office has made, like people questioning the Jordan Poole trade. But I see a vision here that I trust in this front office. And I had a caller say he feels like it's like the Washington Commanders front office. They're going for ballers. They want people who love the game that want to get better. And so, you know, it's hard to see what the end of this rebuild is going to look like when your team's winning 18 games, but there's so much young talent here that I just have to believe that one of them will pop. One of them will become an all-star in the NBA. And just a lot of talented players that I'm excited for. Number one for me is Bub, though. I think he's going to have a great sophomore year in the NBA. Now that Jordan Poole's gone, give Bub the rock, let him run the offense. But I got to talk about the NBA draft as a whole. And my goodness, do they hate Washington Wizards basketball fans. I think the NBA had four commercial breaks in the entire first round. They went to commercial break with Washington on the clock at number six. They went to commercial break with Washington on the clock at number 18. And then we traded the pick. And then they hung out for pick 19, pick 20. And then went to another commercial pick. Commercial break right when we are on the clock for pick number 21. And I'm so frustrated by it. It happens in the NFL with the Washington Commanders as well. But with the NBA, it feels like Adam Silver hates Washington. I mean, what the hell? You know, it was like the combination of the fact that we didn't get a top three pick in the lottery. And then The guy that I think a lot of the fan base will start to fall in love with, like myself, Ace Bailey, goes number five. And then, oh, yeah, go to commercial break because we don't care about the Wizards. We've never cared about the Wizards. We don't care about that fan base. They view us like a mid-major market. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. But the NBA draft as a whole was a weird one this year. You know, you had Ace Bailey selected at number five after his representation said he does not want to play in Utah. Danny Ainge says, welcome to Utah, buddy. Enjoy it. You had, what was it, Colin Murray-Boyles at nine get selected to the Toronto Raptors. He is unaware there's a camera on him when you get drafted, when your dream becomes a reality. You don't know there's going to be a camera in your face. He completely shakes his head and then drops an F-bomb on camera, you know, visibly upset that he was drafted by the Toronto Raptors. And my bigger take is, this is what's wrong with paying these kids in college. I hate it so much. I hate it so much. Call me old school. Tell me stories of players that played a lot of college basketball and then got hurt and never made money. I don't care. We're overpaying these student athletes. And this is what happens. They're making millions of dollars. The NBA isn't as much a dream anymore as it is to get a big bag of money in college basketball. And it's changed things. And that's why you got guys like Ace Bailey and his management and his agent refusing to work out with teams. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? This is where we've gotten by now. Like, we've gotten to a country now where the kids that dream and dream and dream of getting to the NBA, and then they have that opportunity and they're refusing to work out with teams because they only want to play for certain organizations. What happened to just, it's a dream to get in the league? No, but he was already making $2 million at college. And then you got guys like RJ Lewis, who plays college basketball, and some idiot is in his head saying, you need to stay in the draft because you're going to get drafted. No, you got benched on national television. You were not going to get drafted. Go back to school and get more NIL money. Instead, he stays in the draft, doesn't get drafted, and now he's lost out on millions of dollars. Too many people are in these kids' heads and feeding them bad information, wrong information, and I'm frustrated by it, and I think it all comes down to the root of the issue is the NIL and the transfer portal. It's the wild, wild west. And this is basketball. This is basketball. It's way more corrupt and messed up in football. It's not even close when you talk about how bad it is in football. And you have teams that are, you know, promising money to players, then they're not getting it. And I'm still not over the UNLV quarterback being 4-0, the best start UNLV's ever had, and he just says, no, I'm not getting my money, I'm out. What do you mean? Aren't you a team-first player? You're the leader of this team. So I just wanted to rant about how I think the NIL and transfer portal is ruining all of sports, and you kind of saw that in my mind. I've never seen an NBA player shake his head and then curse about getting drafted. That's unbelievable. Maybe you don't deserve to go to the NBA. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Andre in Alexandria. Andre, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Thank you, AWOD. How you doing? And I have a friend of mine, I can't tell his name, and he's a college scout, and he said the Wizards got their eye on Florida, University of Florida.
Yeah.
Big man, that 7'9" guy that they's predicting that he will come out after this year. And I think that'll be good for Sar and the whole team, especially Sar, if they can somehow pull that off if he decides to come out at the end of next year. And he's not awkward like George Mirson. He got good hand and eye and feet coordination. And it surprises me how much coordination he got at 7'9".
Yeah.
Keep your eye on him. You're going to be pleasantly shocked because they got their eyes on him.
I love to hear that, but I think bigger picture – you're absolutely right. The next year's draft selection will be a starting center moving forward. I think they feel pretty good now about the backcourt, and Alex Sarr could be a four, maybe a five, but they need another big man.
Exactly. Keep your eye on that guy. Keep your eye. I'm saying, remember I told you back in June or July? All right. You're going to be surprised.
All right. I appreciate the call, man. Right. Thanks for chiming
okay.
in.
Okay.
Yep, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Look, there's a Wizards team right now in my mind that is missing a starting center, and maybe that's Alex Saar. Maybe, as one caller said, that's Tristan Vucevic. It's not Kelly Olynyk. I can promise you that. It's not Kelly Olynyk, and it's not Rashawn Holmes. It's not Anthony Gill. All right, they're going to need a center here if it's not Alex Saar by the time they end up taking that next step forward. But Trey Johnson will be introduced to the Washington Wizards fan base, and I'm super excited. I thought there was a really funny interview was trending about him saying he literally just plays basketball and like eats and sleeps and hoops, and that's all he really cares about. And we played the audio of Will Dawkins talking about how much he focuses in, and he was watching WNBA, and he was able to tell over the screen, under the screen. He's just a hoops head, and I think that's a great characteristic for a kid that you're believing in can take a leap in his game. I mean, he's so young, right? He's so young, and that's the other thing about everybody on this roster. They're so young, and so they might be filled with potential, but do you have the right pieces in place so they can reach that potential? Do you have a front office that believes in them, a front office that will stick with the process? Again, I don't like what Houston did. I don't understand that. You built the right way. You drafted Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Alperen Sengun. Nobody expected you to have playoff success the first year, but the regular season success was something to, you know, to stand on. You were the 2 seed in the Western Conference, the best conference in basketball. You were the 2 seed, and you're going to trade your future for Durant? I felt like that was like them hitting the fast forward button, like they were desperate. They didn't need to be desperate just because they got knocked out by the Golden State Warriors. I want the Wizards to trust the process here, let it play out, and maybe the difference is maybe the Houston front office didn't believe that they had the job security that the Washington front office has, and that Brian Keefe has job security as the head coach also, and that they can believe in these young players, play them, and even though you're not going to win many games, and even though you know you're probably going to see a lot of opposing teams' jerseys at your home games, and you might not have the fan base fully bought in because, of course, it's tough to watch 60-plus losses every year, they're not going to take any shortcuts. They're going to build the right way. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. No, it's the dog days of summer here. Not much going on unless you're locked into all things Major League Baseball or the FIFA Club World Cup, the Gold Cup action. We are about 3 weeks away from Commanders training camp, which gives me an opportunity to talk about the number one thing on my mind, which is the future of the Washington Wizards. Like, I'm actually excited. I really am. I'm taking the glass half full approach here. I'm not going to talk about Ace Bailey as much as I wanted Ace Bailey. I'm talking about Trey Johnson. I'm talking about Will Riley. Jameer Watkins. How cool is that for me, getting the fact that I got to interview him his first 2 years at VCU. Then he transferred to Florida State. Now he's drafted by the Washington Wizards. We're going to have to get Jameer Watkins back on the program. Look, it's one of the most exciting second-round picks from this year in my mind, because I do think he is a star athlete that could really develop into maybe being a defensive specialist in the NBA. But Trey Johnson, walking bucket, super excited about that. And Will Riley, I just love how his head coach talked about how much the Wizards scouted him. And the highlights, he makes tough shots look easy. And that's what I liked about Ace Bailey. So liking that about Will Riley as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Are you excited about the future of the Washington Wizards? Are you kind of pissed off here that they didn't get Ace Bailey? They didn't get a top three pick. And you're going to have to deal with another season with a ton of losses. I'm okay with that because they're doing the ethical tank. They're playing everybody below 24 years old, basically. Not sure we're going to see much of C.J. McCollum, Chris Middleton, and Marcus Smart, or even Corey Kispert. But everybody else, you're going to see a lot of them this year, including Summer League. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We got Paul. Paul in D.C. You're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I like what they're doing, and at the end of the day, I think that you hit it right on the head. When you look at a backcourt of Bud Carrington, maybe Trey Johnson at the two, Bilal at the three, and then Alex Sarr at the four, you just get a big man. My suggestion would be if they had the cap space to sign a guy like Miles Turner, someone who's a veteran but young enough, he can grow with them and also teach them at the same time. But you know he's not going to be part of your long-term future. You might want to sign him to a 3-4-year deal, you know. And then in the process, if you're better than what you expect to be, that draft pick might not be as high as it normally would be. But however, you can still look for a big man in the draft somewhere that's a certain. Now, here's what people don't understand. You know the biggest addition to that OKC team? It was the guy Hockenstein, the big center down low. Yeah, Hartenstein. He was a big vital part of teaching those young guys how to perform and how to win. Now I will say this, I want to get this in. I disagree with you about the Jalen Green. If you're the Houston Rockets and you have an opportunity to still keep young players, your main core, and then at the same time you have that window of opportunity to win a championship, if Kevin Durant, if he signs this extension as they expect him to do, if they win one to two championships, it would have been worth it for the next 3 or 4 years. Because Jalen Green is going to take some time to develop. And you don't have that type of time necessarily when you're right there. They were the number two seed. Everybody was looking forward to a Western Conference Finals of OKC and Houston. Now, Durant makes them far better. He can bring some leadership and some veteran knowledge in there. But more importantly, he's a flat-out scorer when the game is on the line. Jalen Green is going to grow with Devin Booker and those guys. And I think that was a better move for him because Houston was not beating OKC. And as currently constructed, they wasn't. And so not for the next 2 or 3 years anyway. But Kevin Durant, they'll be able to do that.
Hopefully. He's also got to stay healthy. You know, that's a big part of it as well. I mean, look, you can argue the move was the right move because they're going to maybe be able to beat OKC. And if that works out, I think you're right. My whole point was with Jalen Green, you were probably going to be a top four seed once again. I'm not saying you were going to get to the NBA Finals. But I think you were going to be a top four seed again without even trading for Durant.
And here's the thing, though, when you say he got to stay healthy, Houston can keep him healthy. They can load manage him here because they still deep. They still have great young players, and so they can give him a couple of days off here.
So let me ask you this question, though. All right, so Washington is building, sort of like Houston, sort of like OKC. If they take a big step forward, not this year, the next year, and they end up in the postseason, do you want them to go out and try to swing a trade for a star like a Kevin Durant?
I would. I mean, depending on how many draft picks we have. Remember, Houston had a plethora of draft picks. So they could trade them and still had their own, you know, picks or whatever. So, I mean, they still got picks in the future. Now, here's the thing. I do like what the Wizards did with the C.J. McCollum. Now, people are going to underestimate us. With Marcus Smart, C.J. McCollum, you know, those types of guys, those veteran presence in the locker room, is going to help elevate this team quicker than normally constructed. Trust me, they're going to grow faster with those guys in the locker room teaching them how to be professionals, especially Marcus Smart. He's a dog.
Who's the wizard?
He's going to teach them how to focus on defense. You know?
I love that. Who's the wizard that becomes an all-star first?
I think Trey Johnson and Bud. I think that backcourt is going to be deadly for the next 5 to 10 years if they keep them together.
I like what you're saying. I think it needs to be Bilal Coulibaly, though. He's the older guy, right?
I like him, but like I think that, you know, and here's another thing. Jameer Watkins, you need those guys that are just strictly focused on defense. You know, every team has them, like Amen Thompson and those types of guys, guys that focus on, that put their head on the defense. You need those guys like a Dennis Rodman coming off the bench and solidifying or checking that next guy or shutting them down so that your stars can stay fresh, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's important, you know? The boy Dort Dort for OKC is that guy for them, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. You need a defensive stopper, and that might be Bilal's future there if he doesn't develop on the offensive end.
Or it might be Watkins because he did good. I mean, at Florida State, he was good, and then even in the combine, he was shutting people down defensively. Definitely made his mark. So, and I think he loves to play it. That's another thing. Defense takes heart. You got to want to do it.
Good call, Paul. Let's go to Yep. Line two here on AWOD Radio. We've got Paulie. Paulie, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, man, hail to the W, man. What's up, AWOD?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
How you doing, man? Hey, shout out to Paul, man. I bleed as Coach Jordan's son, man. He always got good basketball talk. Shout out to Paul, man. I'm going to piggyback on that, too. I think they need to get rid of O'Keefe. Man, you got to get you a veteran coach in there also, man. Yeah, y'all talk about OKC and Houston. Throw the Detroit Pistons in that mix, too. You know, we're blowing it up and starting over young. And I really think you need a veteran coach in there to get them players some direction.
So, Paulie, I understand what you're saying, and you're not the only one that said that they need go out and get Michael Malone or Budenholzer, one of these coaches that won a championship. But Paulie, you know, we just had Chase Hughes on, and he made a great point here. The Wizards front office has worked with Brian Keefe for years. They've watched him develop successfully young talent. They believe he's the right guy to develop.
Listen,
I'm not saying that you're not right and that eventually it might be Thibodeau or someone to win a championship, but for right now, when the process is developing, not winning games, I think they are right to have Brian Keefe there.
No, you got to know how to develop and win games. You know what I mean? You need to have a Bickerstaff, a Uduke. You got to have – what's the guy that got fired from Milwaukee when it was up right before Doc Rivers took over.
Budenholzer, right?
You know, no, not Budenholzer. The other guy. They won like 30 games. You know what I mean? And then they fired him and brought Doc Rivers in.
Oh, Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin. Yeah, you need a player that these young guys are going to relate to. And also, he got a winning, you know, it was only 30 games, but he got a winning pedigree. Right now, Keith, to me, he's an assistant coach. You know, you need a guy that's going to grow with these players. And you know what I mean? So I don't think O'Keefe is the guy. And they want to really accelerate that process, man. I think they need to bring in a veteran coach. I mean, it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not, I don't even got a dog to fight. I'm a Knicks fan. So
but do you view this front office as a competent front office that's doing it the right way? Because if you like
the front office,
I think you trust them trusting Brian Keefe.
Yeah, but no, but that doesn't mean they made a right decision with the head coach. To me, it looked like it was the cheap decision.
Yeah.
They knew they had a bunch of young players. They knew they wasn't going to really compete for anything this year. But I'm saying moving forward, you know, you're bringing in Trey Johnson. You're bringing in, the guy they drafted at 18. Will Riley. Right. So you're bringing in another stash of young players, and you're mixing them with a Smart and a McCollum and Middleton. So, to me, you bring in a veteran, a coach, man, somebody that can get these guys going. I don't think O'Keefe is that guy. He might be a good player developer, but you got to know how to mix up developing the players and winning at the same time. Nobody expected the Detroit Pistons to do what they did this year or the Houston Rockets. You know what I mean? So, that I'm just feeling like coaching could be better, man. As far as my man Ace Bailey, yeah, I was upset that y'all didn't get him in because I was an Ace Bailey fan. But I'm gonna say this: I don't have no problem with these players trying to control their old narratives. You know, waiting for too long, these leagues, these players have just been, you know, having to do with being told on. You know, just like in the NBA, I mean NFL, no different from the combine. The players skipping combine. You know, if I don't want to play for a certain team, I shouldn't have to be forced to go work out or judged about not working out for him. I don't want to go here. You know, I can't pick my own narrative. I mean, as we see, a lot of these front offices don't know what they're doing because probably 45% of them get fired every year. When that's a high number. But you know what I'm trying to say. So I don't have a problem with these players picking their own narratives, man. I mean,
I get what you're saying, but I would shoot
things
back
evolve.
At you. Well, then they don't need to play in this league. They can go play in Europe. They can go play in the G League.
Do.
They can go play somewhere else.
And they do. It's no different from Adam Silver deciding which organization he wants to have the number one pick. Don't tell me that's a fair lottery system. It ain't no different. So why these players can't control their own narrative, man? I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, hey, listen, like I said, Knicks fan, I'm a D.C. sports fan. But so I follow what's going on up there. And I like what the Wizards are doing, putting that young core together. But, yeah, to me, the number one thing is they got to get a solid veteran coach. A guy like Tibbs would be good for them, man. I'm telling you. I take it off. Y'all have a great morning, man. Hail to the W.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fans. You know, for the last few years, the Wizards fans were the miserable fans here at DC Sports. There's no miserable Commanders fans anymore. How about a shout-out to miserable DC United fans listening to the show? Bear tweets me. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio. We're at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD with you live and local here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Team 980, we're simulcast, got you covered on both ends of the dial, and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, always on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can download the Odyssey app like I do and use it to listen to the Sports Junkies. You can rewind, run some errands, pick up right where you left off. And the Junk said Will Dawkins on this show, and, you know, I think this was an important answer here from Will Dawkins because it kind of shows you where they're at. They've got Bob Carrington. They've got Bilal Coulibaly. They've got Alex Sarr. They've got the second-rounders like Trisha Vucevic, Keyshawn George. There's a lot of young flavor here, but are they committed to any of these guys fully? Well, I don't think so because they're drafting any position, best player available, and you might see Trey Johnson slide ahead of Bilal Coulibaly in the pecking order the way he plays this season. You don't know because I think they're still trying to figure out who's going to be the superstar of the guys they've drafted. Let's take a listen. Here's Will Dawkins, clip number three on the Junks.
Yeah, I would say with the guys we've drafted, I would say before this, you could tell that we're going to find guys who we feel have a chance to be NBA players and NBA players for a long time, and guys who have qualities that we feel will be able to play in NBA playoff games, because again, that's the goal. So right now we're taking best available player who fits a play style that we want to have. And I wouldn't see it as asset play or positional need. Right now we just want to bring a bunch of guys in that compete, want to get after it, and play a style that leads to winning.
Just bring in a bunch of dogs and see who rises to the top. Look, it's going to be a fun season. It's going to be even a fun summer league in just a few weeks. I'm fully bought in. These last 2 years have been difficult as a Wizards fan, and it kind of broke my heart when we didn't win the lottery. But I'm choosing to be optimistic, glass half full. Trey Johnson would have been a top two or three pick last year, and I do think that there's a chance he could end up being your rookie of the year because he's in a situation where he's going to be able to shoot a lot, and if he's making it, he'll score a lot. I don't think the same can be said about Cooper Flagg when you're going to have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, and they'll have different expectations for that team. San Antonio, Harper's going to be behind Fox and Wembanyama, you know, so I just think with Trey Johnson here, he has an opportunity to really score a lot as a rookie and to make some headlines. Let's go to the phone lines. Do you like what the Washington Wizards front office is doing right now? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. Sean, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I do think that building draft picks and building up a team that really doesn't have a lot going on is probably the best way to go about it. I mean, you got to know that some of these guys that you're drafting even this year may not work out. That's
right.
Okay. You're building. You're trying to figure out who are the linchpins for 5, 6, 7 years down the road, and who can we try out? And then, you know, it's a lot of, you know, not putting a lot of worry on for the next year or two, which is why I do think that Keith is probably, you know, the guy to lead them for right now. And then eventually you've got a bunch of cap space. You've got all these things to be able to make decisions in a year or two, you know, where you can play with it right now. I just think that's a better way to go about it.
Yeah, and here's the nice thing that Washington has going for them that a lot of teams don't. The ownership has taken a hands-off approach and is trusting this front office. They have the ultimate job security, probably the most of any team in the NBA right now other than the OKC Thunder, right? I mean, They know Michael Winger and Will Dawkins are going to be here. They're going to see out this vision because the ownership has trust in them. The coach has trust in this front office, and so they can just let these guys play. So of the guys on the roster right now, who do you think has the most superstar potential and why?
For me, I like the idea of Trey Johnson just because he's a scorer to begin with. I think that was a better choice than Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey seems like the kind of guy, like a Joel Embiid. He has a bunch of ability, but he's got a lot of baggage and a lot of off-the-court problems to where it's like, this is a process, obviously, here, but when you say trust the process in Philly, it means a whole different thing, and it's something that has a bad taste in your mouth, which is what I think Ace Bailey might have in Utah, which is why I think Trey Johnson is a better choice. But I think that this year, next year, draft-wise, I think we'll develop the team in a way where you understand who's going to stick, who's not going to stick, and then you can use that money that you've built up with the Jordan Poole trade and go out for that other piece that just might put you over the top and into the playoffs.
I hope so. So outside of Trey Johnson, I mean, he hasn't played a game for us yet. We just selected him. I'm with you. I'm super excited, especially with that quick release that his game can translate to the NBA. But other than that, who's the guy that has star potential? Is it Bob? Is it Bilal? Or is it Alex Sarr?
For me, I mean, Bub's going to have the ball in his hand to start things a lot. I think that that helps him. Sarr, as long as he's playing the four, I don't like him as the five. I don't think that he has that kind of body for it. So I think that, you know, next year drafting a little bit more size is going to help even Sarr just so that he is not strained in that way. I think defensively, you know, you can kind of not, I guess he's pushed a little bit more when he's, you know, in that kind of smaller range, but I think if he plays the four, he has more of an ability to feature himself. But we'll see.
Yeah, but Sean, it sounds like you're bought in. You know, you can handle another 60-loss season because you're excited for the future.
Oh, I mean, I've been here my entire life, so I've seen a couple of those. I mean, I was thinking about rename. I mean, I know Danny Rie doesn't like the name of the Wizards. We can call them the Washington Tanks for the next 5 years. That's fine.
I like to call them the Wiz Kids because that's what they all. They're all children.
It's way more positive than I'm thinking, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Good call, Sean. Thanks for chiming in, man. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I appreciate Wiz Nation for stepping up. You know, it feels like we're always talking Commanders, we're always talking NFL, but it was nice to vent a little bit. But, you know, it was a lot of positive talk, I felt like, especially after an 18-win season. A lot of people are excited about the future. You know, this is the second year that we've been really, really bad, so I think there's more people that are kind of understanding the approach and the vision by this Washington Wizards front office. And like I said, they've got the job security to see out this vision. I'm excited. I personally am excited to see what they can come up with here over the next few years because I think they are following in the footsteps of Western Conference 1-2 seed OKC Thunder and the Houston Rockets. I'm Adam Epstein. You've been listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.